Hi, this is Sandy Simpson from Apologetics Coordination Team. Thank you for choosing one of our podcasts, and I hope that you enjoy it and it's a help to you.
Today we're continuing in Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. And, it's basically called a building of peace. Verse 11, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Without God? Yeah, if you're believing whatever you're believing and whatever God you're worshiping, and it's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're without God. But those two verses prove that there's no such thing as replacement theology, and especially that of the World Christian Gathering of Indigenous People movement, where they claimed that every nation has its own oracles that God gave them at Babel, and they carried out the true worship of God to the whole world. I mean, that is just a complete bunch of bunk. We really got to get the word out that that is false ideas. But of course, most of us here are Gentiles, and we have to remember that we were outside of the covenant of the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We were excluded and thus destined for damnation because we would be judged by our works. And we know that no man can be saved by their works. Psalm 143:2, do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. No one living is righteous. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. You know, we were separated from Christ, and because of that, we had no access to the Father. This is something to remember in terms of people who claim, oh, Allah is the true God. Oh, really? But Allah has no son. How are you going to get to the Father if he doesn't have a son? You're without hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 4:18, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. When Adam and Eve sinned, it hardened our hearts. We took on a sin nature. And not only that, but we follow the sin nature and sin. So we were without hope and without God in the world. But verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Thank the Lord for that. Those who were outside of the old covenant with Israel are now brought in through the new covenant in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:15, for this reason, Christ is a mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Through the blood of Christ, we have access to the Father as only Israel had before. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And then this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Jesus Christ made peace for us with the Father by his death on the cross. The perfect sacrifice he made satisfied all the requirements of the law and paid the penalty of death for our sins. Jesus destroyed the barrier men had to a relationship with God. You probably remember a popular graphic that is in a lot of tracts. There's two cliffs, and on one cliff it has God, and on the other cliff it has man. One says, man sinful, God holy. But then Jesus Christ interposes his cross in between to create a bridge between man and God. The Father's purpose in this plan through Christ, other than salvation, was to bring together in one body Jew and Gentile. The body of Christ is now made up of those who believe in Jesus Christ through faith, both Jew and Gentile. The hostility between the chosen people of God and Israel and Gentiles is put to rest forever in Christ. Notice that this new body, made unified by Christ, is in Christ. Christ created in himself the church. The church is truly the body of Christ. Ephesians 2:17, he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Who were far away? That was the Gentiles. Near? Those of Israel. Both Jew and Gentile can now know the peace of Jesus Christ. There's no more separation between peoples. We are all precious in God's sight. 1 John 4:9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Romans 16:25-27. Now to him who's able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. I love that benediction. As Christians, we no longer view fellow believers or even the world in terms of the separation of races or cultures. We no longer view people with bigotry, but in the love of Christ. But unfortunately, there's still a lot of bigotry and racial hatred, even among Christians. It's going even into Christian organizations. Case in point, those who are teaching CRT. When we become believers, our main focus is no longer on culture and traditions, but on the body of Christ and building it up. This is a radical statement in the current world atmosphere, putting so much focus on culture and tradition. But remember that Paul says that he counted all that as rubbish, garbage. Philippians 3:4-9. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. That ought to be our statement as well. The fact is that the traditions of men are often in opposition to the will of God and what he wants of us. Mark 7:8-9. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Boy, that's a verse that we ought to be quoting today. Be careful about those who try to trap you in human tradition and culture. The gospel is the message of peace to the world, not plans for global unity, not unity among different religions, not the effort to stop wars. The gospel is what has made peace with God and gives us peace within. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Have you experienced that peace that transcends all understanding? Boy, I have. I was not at peace in my younger self until I really surrendered to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:18, for through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Both Jew and Gentile believers now have access to the Father through the Spirit, those who believe on Jesus Christ. It's only possible if you're born again of the Spirit, which is only possible by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. John 3:5, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Two births. There's two criteria. Of course, we all meet the first criteria, that's being born of water. As a baby, God brings you to birth by spending 9 months in water. And when you're born, you come out of the water. So we're all born of water. That's the first birth. But you know what? That's not enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. We must also be born of the Spirit, born again. John 3:3, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. The Spirit has to make in us a new spirit. Our spirit has to be renewed because it had fallen captive to the sin nature. Ephesians 2:19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and the members of God's household. Those who are true believers of any people group, nation, background, income level, or color are now part of one household, the household of God. If you're members of God's family in this house, in his house, then you have a place to live. You have fellowship. You have brothers and sisters you would have not had in the sinful world. When you become a citizen of a country like the U.S., you're then entitled to all the privileges of that country. If you're a member of Puerto Rico, you are entitled to certain privileges in the U.S. by virtue of Puerto Rico having a relationship with the U.S., But someone who is, say, a citizen of India doesn't have the same privileges in the U.S. They can't collect Social Security or welfare, get food stamps, get a job, or even stay indefinitely because they do not belong to the household of the U.S. Unless, of course, you don't uphold the laws of our country like Biden and others, then it's a different story, isn't it? But generally speaking, by law, you're not entitled to the same things citizens of this country are. In the same way, those who are members of God's household are entitled to the privileges of being in that house. We're no longer foreigners, but citizens, entitled to all God has to offer. What are we entitled to as citizens in God's household? Life, joy, peace, hope, love, glory, fulfillment, growth, security, wisdom, and eternal life. It's quite a package, folks. Ephesians 2:20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So what is God's household built on? Well, it's Christ, the cornerstone, obviously. And we've been discussing that. But it's also built on the foundation Christ, the cornerstone, has laid, which is of the apostles and prophets. Now, this isn't talking about new apostles and modern prophets, not at all. It talks about the foundation, the beginning, the basis for the building of the church being laid down by those to whom God gave the revelation of the mystery of Christ. Hey, the foundation was laid long ago in the first century. Where are we now? Your guess is as good as mine, but I think we're probably on the steeple. The foundational apostles and prophets are dead and gone. We as a church, the building, are building to completion the household of God on earth based on the teaching of Christ, as passed down and interpreted for us by the apostles and prophets. And these are contained in our Bible. Beware of those who would try to steal the authority of the apostles and prophets and the word of God today by claiming they have the same authority. They do not. We'll go into that later, but those who claim to be equal to or greater than the apostles today are what Paul called false apostles. It's the only place that phrase is used in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 11, 12 through 15, and I will keep on doing what I'm doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Be very careful of those who claim to be apostles today. There is one type of apostle left today, but they're not foundational to the church as a whole. The only type of apostle, quote unquote, we have today is basically a church planting missionary evangelist. But we call them missionaries or evangelists so as not to confuse them with the foundational apostles. But unfortunately, many churches are confusing people by calling those in authority over them apostles. There are no more apostles like Paul, and we'll study that in chapter 4. Verse 21, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. In Christ, the building of the church is in unity and is rising day by day as a holy temple to the Lord. You know, there's no temple in Jerusalem anymore, and if one is built, it's going to be an abomination to the Lord. Why? Because the church is the temple of the Lord. That's what it says here. The church is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. The individual Christian has access to the Holy of Holies in the body of Christ and in the Holy Spirit who indwells them. Hebrews 10, 19 through 22 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Christ, Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest, a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Notice that Jude uses the same word, most holy, to describe our faith, our relationship to the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Jude 1:20, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, and in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The church is a dwelling place of the Spirit as well as the individual Christian. 2 Corinthians 1:22, set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And we'll study those two passages later, but they show that the Spirit is in the individual Christian and the church as a whole. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Ephesians 4:4 through 6, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We can thank the Lord that when we believe on the Son, Jesus Christ, that the Lord will be in us. He sends his Spirit to be in us and to live with us and dwell with us. We need to challenge people if the Holy Spirit is knocking at their door because they've heard the gospel. You need to believe and repent and turn to the Lord and then walk with him.
Hi, this is Sandy Simpson again. Thank you for listening to one of our podcasts. You can come to my website, Apologetics Coordination Team at deceptioninthechurch.com, or go to our YouTube site called ACT TV and check out our DVDs and books, etc. Thank you so much for checking us out.